2 Corinthians chapter number 10 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in our Bibles this evening. It's great to be back in the house of the Lord. We're going to continue our series here. We've been dealing with anger, frustration. We've been on the solution here, and I want to be a help to you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And we'll start here as we look at a familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll do a little reviewing, and then we'll continue to look at the solution. There's hope. We don't have to live frustrated and live angry, live upset. And quite honest with you, a lot of these principles apply to many of the other things we face, worry and fear, anxiety, etc. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We don't fight the devil with carnality, right? It's spiritual. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We're told in other passages of Scripture, give no place to the devil. Make no provision for the flesh. And as we look at this chapter, and as we really look at patterns in our lives, flesh patterns often are strongholds. We get in a habit of reacting and responding in the flesh, and we find ourselves with strongholds. The Scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is the key? The key is in verse number 5. And that is in casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If I'm going to act biblically, I must think biblically. Our thinking is absolutely vital. We ended last week when we looked at this, developing faith patterns, and we said that faith patterns come from faith decisions. It is a choice that we make. Nobody forces us. Our choices are absolutely vital. And then we said faith patterns come from the Word of God. Faith patterns come from expressing faith, and faith patterns come from studying the faith of others. Now we're going to concentrate much of our time now on really number 2 and 3, and that is, what does the Word of God have to say about the circumstance that I face in my life? Because if I'm going to have faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Obviously, a choice is a choice you make. All right, so we look at number 1. You got to choose. Do I want victory? Do I want to have the right habits in my life? Do I want freedom from anger, frustration, or whatever it is? So I make that choice and I say, okay, then I want to have faith patterns in my life, not flesh patterns. And so last week, we gave you a little bit of an overview of where we're going. And so let me give you this. What we want is, and today we're going to look at trust patterns instead of temper patterns. Trust patterns instead of temper patterns. And then the next few weeks, we'll look at forgiveness patterns versus blame shifting, love versus victim patterns, gratitude and intercession. The goal is that we would allow the Spirit of God to take truth, that we would make a decision and begin responding in faith to the truth of the Word of God. As I take my circumstances, the things that I face, and I begin to look at what the Word of God has to say, and I begin to allow the Word of God to change my thinking, it then will change my action, or could I say this with regards to anger, my reaction. Quite often, it is a reaction, not necessarily. And by the way, it ought to be an action. We ought to choose decisive steps, choose truth over our flesh. All right. We've got bad news, all right? Comes tomorrow, we get the phone, bad news, whatever it may be. Now, let me say this. Trouble in our lives is real. The circumstances that you face tomorrow and this week are real. I'm not trying to minimize the hardship and difficulty that sometimes we have to go through. Pain is real. It hurts. Sometimes the things that individuals have to go through, especially as we look at forgiveness, you look at abuse, why would this happen to a little child? The pain is real. When you're staring at financial hardships or physical pain that God has allowed in your life, it's real. And I'm not trying to minimize the fact that it does hurt. Sometimes we, in our humanity, we don't understand. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And understanding, we're not trying to minimize the pain, but when things come into our lives that are hurtful or painful, the normal flesh response, why me? Why did this thing happen to me? Why is it that I have to face this hardship? Why is it that I have to go through this particular trial? Our flesh responds in the why me realm. We think about it. We want, you know, I was telling somebody, I was talking to men last week, the closer things get to home, they get to home and you think, oh, people that have those problems are way out there somewhere. And yet often trouble comes to us and we ask ourselves, why me? As trouble comes, we say, why this particular issue? Why is it that I have to have these struggles in my life? Why is it that I was born this way? Or, why is it that I can't hear and someone else can? Or I can't walk? Or I have this disease? Or whatever. Why do I have this burden in my life? Why is it that my parents were like this? And you think, why this particular situation? This is what our flesh brings to our mind as we face hardships. You ever find yourself thinking this way? What am I going to do? You get the bad news and you think, our mind automatically thinks, I've got to have a solution. I've got to solve this problem. And we begin in our minds thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm for trying to solve problems. By the way, I'm not for trying to solve problems before we spend time in prayer about those problems. You know, we get it reversed. We try to think through every solution that we possibly can think through. And then when we come to the very bottom of the bottom, you think, you know what? I probably ought to pray about this. Shame on us, right? All of us. A lot of folks are nodding. Shame on us. But sometimes, what am I going to do? Have you ever found yourself awake at night trying to think, what am I going to do about this particular situation that I'm faced with? And if we continue to go over in our minds, why me? Why this? What am I going to have to do? We create patterns in our thinking that aren't right. We create worry patterns. We create frustration patterns. You ever found yourself saying this? I can't handle this. If you have bad news on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday comes around and you think, you know, I my plate's full. I got enough trials in my life. I don't need any more. Don't we feel this way sometimes? And if we over and over say in our mind, I can't handle this, I can't handle this, what do we get? We find ourselves then, again, creating wrong patterns in our life. We begin to verbalize these things. We begin to verbalize these things in front of our wife, in front of our children, in front of our siblings, wherever we are. We find ourselves, I can't handle this, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. Why is it this problem in my life? Why does this always have to happen to me? Why do I always have to have these issues? And then we can even go beyond this and we can think, okay, what if this happens as a result of this? You know, what if this, and you know, little kids sometimes can think, you know, what if the house catches on fire? Or what if, hey, we have individuals have phobias. You know, I don't want to drive anymore because what if I drive and I get in a car accident and I have to be in the hospital, and we begin to think in an unbiblical way. And what happens? When we allow ourselves to continue to think on that which isn't true, patterns develop and patterns turn into strongholds. And so we have got to then counter our flesh thinking or what comes natural with truth. And so we get into the Word of God and we have to see then, how do I develop trust patterns? Now, the default, are you familiar with that term? The default in our thinking is always going to be the flesh, all right? We're always going to look at something and the default is going to be my flesh is going to react. So what I have to do then is I have to, instead of allow myself to think in a way that is not biblical, I must then in turn see whatever comes my way and think biblical. I've got to think on that which is true. What sort of things are true and honest and just and pure? Do you know that it is a choice? What you think about is a choice. Now, let me say you this and give you a very practical suggestion that might help you. There are times in my life, there have been times in my life where I have had to override my brain. You say, what in the world are you talking about overriding your brain? We can sometimes create, and sometimes it's when we're under enormous, intense pressure. If you've ever had a hard time sleeping at night, and you know you're laying in bed and you're thinking, I've got to think biblically, I know this isn't wrong, and I'm finding myself worrying, and I can't seem to not worry. Yeah, you ever been there? You can override your brain, and I've done this at times, by putting in some earbuds and putting on some Christian music and override your brain. Okay? So you are forcing your mind to think on what's true and honest and just and pure and right. Now, in our Christian walk, we need to be at a point where we recognize this thought is a wrong thought. It's a negative thought, a flesh thought, whatever. I recognize it, and I have to then think biblically. All right? So we say, my whole world's crashing in, and God doesn't love me. Is that true or false? All right, it's false. So I have to, I'm putting this in slow motion. All right? This thought comes into our mind. I have to stop and say, that was false. Now, here's where we miss it. We say, that was false. I shouldn't think about that. That wasn't right. And then we sometimes say, why did I think about that? I'm a Christian. Why would I have been saved for all these? Why would I think that God doesn't love me? Wow, that's something. I wonder if there's some hidden sin in my life. Man, I must not be as close to God as I ought to be. And you see where we're heading in our thinking? We are spiraling in our thinking in the wrong direction. And so what we need to do is not just recognize a false thought, but we need to replace that thought. That was false. God does love me. The Bible says, and we begin then, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And I must change my thinking as circumstances and things come into my life. My flesh wants to say, why me? I can't handle this, etc. So I need to recognize those thoughts and replace those thoughts with the right thoughts. So how then do we develop in our life some trust responses? All right, how do we develop trust patterns? Number one, a trust response focuses on God as a blesser. Focusing on God as a blesser. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. I'll read this. You can write it in. You can follow along if you want. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Chronicles and 16 in verse number 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Jeremiah 29 in verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, it is vital that we meditate and memorize and get into our being that God wants to bless us. God is not out to get us. When thoughts come in, and we'll look at this, I'll tie these two together in just a few minutes as we end this. When circumstances come into our life and thoughts come in, why me? I must remember, wait a minute, just a second, God's thoughts of me are thoughts of peace and not of evil. I must replace wrong thoughts with right thoughts. And the more I replace wrong thoughts with right thoughts, I begin then to develop patterns of trust. Patterns of faith. The reason why we have strongholds of wrong thinking in our life is because we've allowed our flesh. This is where I said we listen to ourselves instead of talk to ourselves. The flesh says, God doesn't love you. Our emotions. We think, yeah, you're right. No, no, no. We say, hold on just a second, Mr. Emotion. But that's not true. What is true is God wants to bless me. God's thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil. So we develop trust patterns by focusing on God as a blesser. Number two, we develop trust patterns by living, or a trust response lives in light of God's purpose. We all know the verse, don't we? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter number 1, before I formed thee, I knew thee and ordained thee prophet. God has a specific purpose for our lives. Isaiah 55 in verse number 9, His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are His ways ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And it is important that we live in light of God's purpose for our life as an individual. Do you know that I never, ever, ever, I never wake up in the morning and worry about being a good bug killer? I don't. Never. No. God hasn't called me to work for Ehrlich. But He has called Tom Spadano. You see, sometimes we get ourselves off track when we compare ourselves with ourselves, and the Bible says that's not wise. Be what God has called you to be. Live in light of God's purpose for your life. And when we see what comes our way, it is part of God's plan and God's purpose to help us to be what God wants us to be and to accomplish the task that God has called us to accomplish. Wow. Do you know what? When all said and done, what's the most important thing? When all said and done, what do we want? We want to hear God say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, if I'm going to hear that, then I better live in light of His purpose. And I better see what He brings into my life as allowed by Him for His purpose in my life, and to see me accomplish what He would have me to accomplish right here on planet Earth. We sometimes resist. We sometimes get frustrated and allow God to accomplish His purpose in our life. So we live in light of God's purpose. All right, number three, a trust response remembers God is in control. Psalm 115 and verse number 3. Psalm 115 and verse 3. How often do we forget this? How often do we forget this? You know, God doesn't slumber nor sleep. Psalm 115 and verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Psalm 135 and verse number 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How often do we forget that God is in control? I'm contemplating preaching from Psalm 46 on Wednesday night. I look at this psalm. I may preach from it right now. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. The situation that we face isn't the earth being removed. It isn't the mountains being carried in the midst of the sea. I think it's a step or two down from that, wouldn't you think? Whatever it is that we're going through. The psalmist says, hey, I'm not going to fear. God is in control. The very hairs of our head are numbered. And He loves us. And He sees a sparrow fall to the ground. Are we not much more valuable to God than that? We've got to live and remember that God is in control. This world's not our home. We're passing through. Number four, someone that lives with a trust response. A trust response appropriates God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You're familiar with this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul's got a problem in his life too. Lest I should be exalted, verse 7, above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Lord, would you get rid of this burden? Lord, would you deliver me from this circumstance? I don't want this in my life. Would you deliver me? And God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. His response then is, whoa, if I've got His strength in my life, then I will gladly glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. I don't know how much all grace is, do you? You think about all the grace that there ever was. God says that all of the grace that there ever was can abound toward us. Wow! We know grace is God's divine enablement to do that which God has called us to do. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The grace of God. I think it's Romans 5 and verse number 2 that tells us we appropriate God's grace by faith. Therefore, verse 1 of Romans 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. When God sends a truckload of trouble, we have at our fingertips a convoy of grace. We got to appropriate His grace in our lives. It is available for us. Wow. Number five, a trust response rests in God's ways. You know, I hate to tell you this, but we ain't God. How's that for good English? As much as we might try to figure all this out, He's a whole lot bigger and a whole lot smarter and a whole lot wiser. He's God. We like to sometimes take the place of God. We can't, we never will, we'll never be able to. And there are sometimes situations in our lives where I have to just rest in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Psalm 84. Tremendous verse, Psalm 84. I think I can quote it. For the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Is God a liar? No. So we walk uprightly, and what God says is He's not going to hold back any good thing from us. Do we see trials as a good thing? No, but God does. You know, sometimes our greatest need is to be in need. See, God sees trials as a way to grow us, to cause us to be dependent upon Him. Psalm 37, the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And then verse number 25, the psalmist says, "I have been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You see, when we rest in God, we rest in His ways, we can get to a point in our life where we say, "Lord, I don't understand all that You're doing, but I'm thankful that You're in control. I'm thankful, Lord, for this circumstance, this situation that You brought in my life." What are we doing here? We're just taking a glimpse. We're taking a glimpse of who our God is. And if we're going to create trust patterns, we're going to have to meditate on the Word of God. We're going to have to hide in our hearts that we don't sin against God. We have to take the truth of the Word of God, and we need it to change us. And when circumstances come our way, we can respond in a biblical fashion instead of, pardon my technology here, we'll just get them up here. There you go. Instead of, "Why me? I get the news, it's coming. Why me? Why does this always happen to me?" No, I say, "You know what? Here's the circumstances that come into my life. God wants to bless me. That's why." And so we find ourselves, when you find yourself saying, "Why me?" turn it around and say, "Why me? Because God wants to bless me. God is a blesser. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." When we find ourselves saying, "Hey, why this? Why do I have to have this circumstance or this weakness or this frailty or this problem in my life? Why?" Because God is fulfilling His purpose for my life through this circumstance. When we find ourselves saying, "Hey, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm at the bottom. I don't have any other answers." Hey, I can say to myself, rather than worry and say, "Oh, life's crashing in," I can say, "Wait just a second. What do I do? God is in control of my life, and I can let God be in control of my life." And again, I'm not advocating that we just be passive. I do think we need to seek God and ask the Lord, "Lord, is there something else You need me to do? Is there someone else You need me to talk to? Lord, I need to spend more time in prayer about this," and not just being passive. But we allow our mind often to just spiral when we find ourselves thinking, "I can't handle this," and we do. Another job, another assignment, work, whatever. "I can't handle this. I can't handle anymore." Hey, if God has allowed it in our lives, and you know what? All grace. If you need all the grace there is available, God says, hey, I'm going to make it available for you. And we have to think, God's grace for this trial, for this circumstance in my life is sufficient. And I'm going to appropriate it by faith. And then number five, we find ourselves in the what ifs. We find ourselves worrying about this and that. 80 to 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. Never. The reason why we have so much worry problems is, you know what worry is? Worry is meditating on the wrong thing. Do you know people that worry are great meditators? Great meditators. You're just meditating on the wrong thing. If you meditate on truth, if you meditate on what's right and think about this, boy, you're going to be an individual that really has trust patterns, that can praise God in the midst of difficulty because of what this book says. This book's true. And so let's ask the Lord to help us to have faith, trust patterns. I'm not trying to minimize the pain in our lives. Yes, we have things that are difficult. But we can think biblically. We can look at the Word of God and trust God. God never fails. Never has and never will. And His plans for us are way bigger than our plans. His thoughts are way better than our thoughts. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. That's pretty big. Let's not respond in the flesh. Frustration and anger, and begin to spew that out of our mouths. Let's express our faith in who God is and what God wants to do no matter what we face in life. Next week we'll look at the individuals that in our lives that have hurt us, that have caused pain. My prayer is that we will not just have trust patterns where we can trust God and rest in Him, but God will give us His love, and we will begin in our lives to be able to have forgiveness patterns instead of rehearsing, just like we rehearse, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. We often rehearse, I can't believe He did this to me. And we rehearse it over and over and over and over again, and we find ourselves with strongholds of wrong thinking, which then in turn lead to wrong actions. May God help us to cast down strongholds, to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. When thoughts come in your mind, if they're false, that's not a right thought. This is the right thought. And if you find yourself bombarded with wrong thoughts and the discipline isn't there yet to say, I don't know what to think is right, I got to think something right, override your mind with some music. Override your mind with some Bible on tape. And you know what? You won't be able to think about two things at once. You'll find your mind focusing on that which is coming into your brain, and God will use it in your life. He really will. All right? All right, let's bow for prayer. Lord,